You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. Good morning, I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
The man accused of intentionally running over multiple people and driving off is now being investigated in three other cases.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small is live with details. Adam?
Amanda, authorities in Summit County have named On Pham as a suspect in a March hit and run in Park City that sent a woman to the hospital. And Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill has also released a statement to KSL TV saying that they are screening charges against Pham for another hit and run near 13th East and 9th South, as well as one on T Street and the Avenues that was caught on doorbell video that we first covered here for you on KSL News Radio. Pham has already been charged in four different hit and runs in the Salt Lake Valley dating back to August. He's currently being held without bail. Live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Fatal car crashes are up in construction zones nationwide, but a new study says Utah is number three in the country. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston joins us live with more. Peter?
Tim, the only two states with a higher proportion of fatal car crashes being in construction zones are Texas and Nebraska. That's according to a review of 10 years of crash data by LendingTree. 3.3% of fatal car crashes in Utah happen in these construction zones, and the study finds most of the people killed in these areas are drivers and passengers. In real numbers, this state saw just under 80 fatal car wrecks between 2012 and 2021 in work zones. LendingTree points to a few key safety tips from the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration. First, always avoid texting and driving. Second, slow down when you see road workers. And third, keep an eye out for signs and instructions. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
Four people are recovering in the hospital after a multi-vehicle crash involving a semi-truck on U.S. 6. The driver of the semi is in critical condition. The highway was blocked for several hours. This comes just one day after a six-year-old girl was killed on the highway.
Last year, Salt Lake City crews repaired more than 38,000 potholes across the city. I think I found them all. Repair is once again underway this year, and crews have begun patching up damaged roads. You can report any potholes you see to the city at KSLTV's website.
Hill Air Force Base will be blowing up more than 10,000 pounds of obsolete explosives on the west side of the Great Salt Lake. These planned detonations will take place each week later on through September. Most of these detonations won't have an impact on the valley, but nearby communities may be rattled by the sound.
A Pleasant Grove man facing multiple charges after police say he kidnapped his ex-girlfriend and then shot a man she was with. Police say he tricked her into meeting him in Lehigh before taking her back to Pleasant Grove. No injuries were reported. Court documents show the victim had filed a protective order against the man just a few days prior.
KSL's top national stories now. The IDF says the largest number of humanitarian aid trucks since the beginning of the war entered the Gaza Strip this week. Many are worried the pause in fighting in southern Gaza may be laying the groundwork for military action in Rafah. ABC's Britt Clenett has more from Israel.
Gaza's second largest city, now unrecognizable. After months of Israeli bombardment, residents returning to the destruction after the IDF withdrew all its combat units from Khan Yunis. Palestinians describing the trail of devastation left behind. Homes crushed and burned, overturned cars and trucks littering what used to be streets. This woman says her house is now a mountain of debris. Despite pulling ground forces from southern Gaza, the Israeli military saying this war is not over.
More than 400 trucks made their way into the area.
Family members of hostages held by Hamas got a private audience with the Pope this week. One of them, Ashley Waxman Bakshi, says the Pope was warm and welcoming and even used the word evil to describe the terrorist organization.
He is working in his own channels to help with releasing the hostages, and that he is committed to it. And he called Hamas evil, which they are.
That meeting taking place yesterday at the Vatican.
Chinese-Russian relations seem stronger than ever.
Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi hailing the bilateral relationship, saying their close ties are hard-won and deserve to be carefully maintained. His Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov's trip comes amid Moscow's grinding war in Ukraine and an ongoing effort to align their foreign policies against the U.S. and its allies. Wang says his country would support the convening of an international meeting recognized by both Russia and Ukraine, in which all parties could participate equally. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A Utah man who lost his hands in an electrical accident visited Ukraine to help wounded soldiers adapt to their new prosthetics. Sam Matangi tells KSL-TV the invasion has taken a terrible toll.
There's been 20,000 brand new amputees since the start of the war.
Matangi says he was able to find some success stories only 5 days into his trip.
First look traffic on the 7 o'clock report, and here is Andy Farnsworth.
And so far, so good. If at least you're on I-15, had some heavy traffic in Midvale, but it's gone now on the freeway anyway. You are seeing some slow spots on the west side of the valley, including Mountain View and Bangor, trying to get through West Valley. So far, the drive through Davis and Weber County, slow spots maybe in the typical areas, but not even as bad as it gets some mornings. Same story down in Utah County, particularly Lehigh. Redwood Road, not too bad just yet. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Opening arguments for the trial of Chad Daybell will begin tomorrow. KSL-TV's Debbie Worthen has more now that the jury has been selected.
According to KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas, it's the day some jurors may actually decide how they really feel about Chad Daybell and the crimes he's charged with. Those 10 men and 8 women go to bed knowing that they will spend what's expected to be the next few months with a man's life in their hands.
Daybell is accused of murdering the 2 children of his wife, Lori Vallow Daybell, and his late wife, Tammy Daybell. KSL News Radio's Adam Small is in Boise preparing to cover the trial alongside KSL legal analyst Greg Skordas. Come back to Utah's Morning News tomorrow for the latest from Boise. You can also follow our complete trial coverage at KSLNewsRadio.com.
Airbnbs continue to rise in popularity, including here in Utah. KSL News Radio's Alessandra Gurr reports.
Airbnbs brought in over $1.2 billion in total GDP contribution to Utah last year, according to recently released data by the company. Airbnbs also supported nearly 16,000 jobs in the state and generated $360 million in total tax revenue due to tourists spending money on goods and services while visiting Utah. Overall, Airbnb had a nearly 20% increase in revenue from 2022 to 2023. Alessandra Gurr, KSL News Radio.
Many states, including Utah, are exploring the benefits of virtual power plants. If you haven't heard of them, KSL News Radio's Eric Cabrera is here to explain.
Residents and businesses who have solar panels installed can opt into Rocky Mountain Power's WattSmart battery program. The energy that's stored on those batteries can then be used to balance flows on their grid and draw power for their home or office in emergency situations. According to Jonna Whitesides with Rocky Mountain Power, there are roughly 4,000 batteries in Utah being fed by about 70,000 customers.
And then essentially what Rocky Mountain Power does is we utilize those batteries every day rather than ramping up generation on a thermal plant.
This is especially useful during peak hours and higher demand seasons like summer. And companies like Rocky Mountain Power look forward to new solutions. Eric Cabrera, KSL News Radio.
A Utah alum and cornerback for the Atlanta Falcons is honoring a pair of teammates who passed away while he was still a student. KSL News Radio's Michael Kmit is live with more. Michael?
Amanda, Clark Phillips III started his NFL career with number 34 on his jersey, but now he changed it to 22 in honor of Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe. All three of them played with the Utes, but during the 2021 season, Lowe and Jordan both died within 9 months of each other. Both of them were best friends living out their dreams, and Lowe took on number 22 on his jersey after Jordan's death. Phillips III announced his jersey change yesterday, and on an announcement on X, included the hashtag 22forever to remember his late teammates. Reporting live, Michael Kmit, KSL News Radio.
And of course, not a coincidence that he decided to make that announcement this week because the Forever 22 spring game is happening Saturday up at Rice-Eccles.
The murder of 2 men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.